But the day that it arrives will be too late. But the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do. We can do today.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the silsila Deeds of Destruction. And as you know, for those who are always with us, we try to cover one kind of action or deed that can lead to our destruction in this world, in the grave and the hereafter as well. And today we have another very important topic of discussion. I will share with you the theme of discussion for today in a few moments. But before that, let's make good intentions. Let's remember the beautiful hadith, نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So don't delay. Make those good intentions today. Make them right now that I'm watching, I'm listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well. We hope your notebooks are out, your pens are out as well. You can jot down the important Madani pearls of advices and always refer to them at a later stage, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are so many beautiful blessings, bounties and benefits for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of Durood-e Paak, salawat or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the most perfect of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Listen to this beautiful narration. The beloved Aqa sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, whoever recites Durood Salat upon me 100 times at night or the day of Jumu'ah of Friday, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill 100 of that person's needs. 100 needs. 70 of those needs of the hereafter and 30 worldly needs. And Allah Azza wa Jal will appoint an angel who will send this salat, this durood to my qabr, to my grave, as gifts are presented to you. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, indeed, my knowledge after my apparent demise from this world will remain the same as it is in my life. Subhanallah azza wa jal. We all have needs, don't we? And this is one of the ways of fulfilling those needs. Yes, we have to put in effort. We have to go to work to earn that salary, those wages, so that we can fulfill our needs, the water, paying the bills, the lights, the rates or rent, etc., food. But one of the ways with our efforts is to recite large amounts of Durood-e Paak. And in this narration, 100 Durood-e Paak in the night or day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us enthusiasm to recite as much salawat and Durood-e Paak upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as we can. Because let's face it, we spend large amounts of our time on unnecessary conversations, useless activities, mostly on the different social media platforms, and these have no real benefit for us. In many cases, it opens the doors to sins. So why not keep our tongues moist with the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal, with istighfar, with recitation of Qur'an-e Paak and Durood-e Paak as well. Let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Alright, we are going to be discussing the theme of takabbur, which is arrogance and pride, because this is classified as one of the spiritual diseases. Many of us, when we are affected by some kind of illness, sickness, bodily sickness, physical problem, then we go to the doctor, we go to the hospital, we undergo different kinds of tests, blood tests, urine tests, etc. So the doctor can analyze it and see what is our actual problem. And then medication is prescribed. We take so much of our time and effort and worry over healing ourselves and getting rid of these physical diseases, ailments or illnesses. But what about the spiritual diseases? How much do we focus on that? Many people are suffering from spiritual ailments, but they have no idea. Whether it's jealousy, whether it's shamatat. Shamatat is where a fellow Muslim is going through some difficulty, some problem, and I become happy because of that. That's a spiritual disease. Other diseases like ill suspicions, bad thinking about fellow Muslims, backbiting, lies, and even the list goes on. And one of the serious spiritual diseases is arrogance, is pride that many people have but will not admit it. Or perhaps they don't know I have this takabbur, this disease, spiritual disease of pride and takabbur. Listen to what the very great Hujjatul Islam, the proof of Islam, Sayyiduna Abu Hamid, Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala Ali states. He says that an arrogant person, this person cannot like or love for his fellow Muslim what he loves for himself. Allahu Akbar. And are we not taught that a Muslim is one who loves for other Muslims what he loves for himself? And here this great giant scholar of Islam is trying to advise us and open our minds that the arrogant person, the one who is haunted by pride, who doesn't know that he has this disease of pride, cannot love for his fellow Muslim what he loves for himself. He says such a person cannot become humble. And humbleness is the root of piety, is the root of abstinence. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. This arrogant person cannot dispel and remove malice from the heart, that hatred from the heart. Rather, this person tells lies, speaks lies to protect his own honor. So this disease of arrogance, a fatal disease, it really opens up so many other doors of sin, of crime, of evil deeds and actions. We should be careful of this. We should identify it and we should work on removing it as much as we can from our lives. It's not a once-off thing. It's not like, okay, today I'm going to do these things for these couple of days this week to remove this pride and arrogance from my heart, and that's it. No. Shaitan is there. Iblis, the cursed and humiliated one. The nafsul ammara. The ego is there. The carnal desires, the base desires is there as well. And this nafsul ammara, this ego, these desires, bad desires, evil desires, they work, they are allies of shaitan. It's an ally of shaitan. It works with shaitan to destroy us, to destroy our good deeds. We work so hard to do good deeds, to earn thawab. This thawab, these rewards, this is the currency of the hereafter. And we work so hard to earn that reward by doing good deeds for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then ostentation, riyaqari, showing off, pride, arrogance, all these evils, jealousy, it eats up these good deeds, or it eats up the rewards and removes the rewards of those hard-earned good deeds, and we wouldn't even know about it. Furthermore, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi states that the arrogant person is overcome with anger because of his false respect, his false honor, and he cannot protect himself from jealousy, hasad. That's another such an evil thing. The narration of the hadith, the summary of which states that hasad, jealousy, eats up the good deeds as fire eats the wood. Allahu Akbar. Something for us to think about. We should really reflect. Let us contemplate and seriously think, because we are here today and we're gone tomorrow. Before we know it, we'll be gone. And then what, when we are standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, the day of judgment, when we are going to be judged, you are going to be judged. You are going to be accountable, each one of us, for everything we do, everything we say. What will be my condition? Who's going to help me? Here I have contacts. I have a social status. I have many connections. But in the hereafter, who's going to help us? If we're not getting rid of these spiritual diseases, if we are not obeying Allah Azza wa Jal, if we are not obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we are not following the sunnah, if we hurt people, harm fellow Muslims, violate their rights, we need to contemplate now. Now is the time. Don't wait for tomorrow. Because you and I, we cannot guarantee we are going to see the next minute or the next second. We don't know. So the time is now. Amir Ahl-Sunnah Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Dam Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, he encourages us on a daily basis, do Fikr-e-Madina. What is Fikr-e-Madina? It's all about contemplating. Contemplating on our day. This should be done at night before sleeping. We should fill the Madani in Amat booklet. This is a program for any sincere and serious person out there who wants to reform himself or herself. You can get the hard copies of these booklets, which is a self-questionnaire from Maktabatul Madina, the bookshop and publications department of Dawat-e-Islami, or you can download them for free from dawatislami.net. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the IT Majlis, the IT department of Dawat-e-Islami has created more convenience for you and I, and there are special apps that are available from the different app stores and social media stores as well that you can download, you can install, and fill it out to monitor your progress. And believe you me, the person sincerely fills out and practices upon that, they will see positive changes in their life. Nevertheless, let's get back to the Madani pearls of advices of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says that the arrogant person is deprived of accepting the advice of others and starts to commit the sin of backbiting against people. So far we've mentioned in this one narration of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi that arrogance is opening up doors to so many other sins. And not just sins, but major sins. Jealousy, backbiting, Allahu Akbar. Like, it's like eating the flesh of your dead Muslim brother. The Quran mentions something to that effect. Imagine, you would detest it. Allah. Furthermore, he says, an arrogant person feels obligated to commit each and every evil and fails to carry out every good deed because of his arrogance. So this arrogance and this pride actually stops one from doing good deeds, or doing good to others as well, and indulges a person in committing sins. As we mentioned, it opens up the doors to many sinful actions. Because this person, an arrogant person's mind. Now, in the same category, the narcissist. I want you to go and research about this. The narcissist is falling in this category of one who has pride, one who is steeped in arrogance. And a narcissist is a person that it's my way or the highway. This person is a perfectionist, that this is how it must be done. And what I say is the best solution or the best advice, everybody else's comments or opinions or advices are useless and worthless. My advice is the best. Everybody else is a fool. So the narcissist wants to always be in charge, in control. And this person has that pride, that level of pride and arrogance, where I am better than the next person. I want to mention something to you that one of my teachers mentioned, and something thought-provoking. So these are the things we need to contemplate on. I mentioned about Fikr Madina, contemplation. Contemplation over your entire day. When you go and sleep tonight, think that what sins did I commit today? Whatever good we did, don't worry about that. Don't think about that. Make dua, Allah Azza wa Jalla accept it through the sabuk of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But what sins did I commit today? Whose rights did I violate? Whose feelings did I hurt today? I need to make tawbah. I need to repent sincerely in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I need to seek forgiveness from those people that I hurt or I harmed, that I physically assaulted, or I abused them psychologically, emotionally, verbally. I need to ask them for forgiveness. Otherwise, I will pay. I will compensate on the day of judgment with my hard-earned good deeds. And when that finishes, I will be forced to take their sins. Allahu Akbar. Nevertheless, my teacher mentioned to me that he gave me two examples. On one side, we have, let's say for example, an Islamic brother who's trying his best to practice Sunnah, or an Islamic sister who's trying her best to practice Sunnah with the Imam al-Sharif, or for the Islamic sister to put her hijab, her veil, be punctual with Salah, all these things. And on the other side, we have an Islamic brother or Islamic sister who is absorbed in anti-Islamic activities, activities which are sinful, going to the clubs and listening to music, not punctual with Salah, the dress is very immodest, immoral behavior and lifestyle. So we have two opposites, we could say. So my teacher mentioned to me, and this advice is for myself and for yourself as well, that the one who is trying their best to practice Sunnah must never ever even think of this, not even the slightest thought, that you know what? I'm practicing Sunnah. I'm trying. I'm wearing the Imam al-Sharif. I've got the beard. And that Muslim brother, Islamic brother, he's clean shaven. He reads Salah now and then. There's no Sunnah in his life. I'm a little better than him. Maybe the person won't say it. But if this thought comes into the mind, into the heart, immediately make tawbah. Immediately repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because this thought can destroy a person, can destroy a person's good deeds. And immediately say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek protection in Allah Azza wa Jal from Satan, the cursed one. And also say, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, this evil thought, this evil whisper, waswasa of shaitan will be removed. So this person who's trying to practice sunnah must be on guard all the time. Be very cautious and careful that this kind of thinking and thoughts don't enter into the heart and mind. On the other side, the one who's not practicing sunnah, who's not punctual with salah, must be very careful as well. That when he or she looks at that person who's practicing sunnah and punctual with salah, etc., must never think that this person is practicing because they think they're better than us. He's like a Maulana now. He thinks he's pious. So both sides. The one who's practicing, watch your thoughts, monitor your thoughts. The one who's not practicing, you as well. Monitor your thoughts and try to practice. The one who is practicing, try to become more and more sincere and help others, encourage others, motivate others to also practice. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in this era, there's hope. There's always hope. If we believe, if you believe, there's hope. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is the most merciful of those who show mercy. It's up to you. You need to take that first step. This is the effort you need to put in. Take that first step. Be brave. You know, these shackles of laziness and excuses and being dominated by the nafsul ammara, you know, break free from all of those things. Take that first step and really enter into Dawat-e-Islam, because this is what actually Dawat-e-Islam is all about. I must strive to reform myself and people of the whole world, inshallah, azza wa jal. Striving means hard work, smart work, a lot of efforts. It's not just going to happen like that. So Dawat-e-Islam is there, creating platforms, facilities, madani activities on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, to help us to reform ourselves. And once you enter, you will see for yourself. And if you have that istiqama, that steadfastness, and you will be assisted in this regard as well, you will see the positive changes in your life. And you will see yourself trying to motivate others to help them to reform themselves as well. This is what the beautiful Madani movement of Dawat-e-Islam is all about. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. So humbleness, we need to adopt humbleness. We need to really get into becoming sincerely more humble. Self-accountability. As I mentioned, Fikr-e Madina contemplation on a daily basis. This will help us. It will help us greatly to get rid, slowly but surely, of that pride, arrogance, and many other spiritual ailments as well. Think about your day. The sins I committed, sincerely repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Think about, if I close my eyes now, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to close my eyes. Will my eyes open again? There's no guarantee. If it doesn't open, what happens next? What's the next step? Am I going to be comfortable, successful, happy in the grave? Am I ready for that? What about the hereafter? I'm standing all alone. So do Fikr-e Madina. It will help us get rid of many spiritual ailments, and it will help us to put our lives into the proper perspective, Islamic perspective. Furthermore, make dua. Dua is powerful. Ask the pious ones to make dua for you. Because dua is, as long as it's for something good, it's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps given or granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ways, or perhaps even in the way that you desire and you want. Make dua, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me pious, make me sincere. When you're alone, cry. Cry and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of Ghawth-e Azam, Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz, Ala Hazrat, Awliya Allah, Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, Rahimahumullah ta'ala, wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Forgive me, help me. Help me to get rid of pride, arrogance, jealousy, lies, all these filthy, dirty things that are bogging me down, that are putting me down. Make me pious. So make dua. Another cure for arrogance is that a person must focus on the disadvantages of arrogance. What are the disadvantages in this world, in the grave, the hereafter as well? It is mentioned that Allahu Akbar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, adopt humbleness and sit with the poor people. You will be or become a high-ranking bondman of Allah Azza wa Jal, and will also be free of arrogance. These are practical ways that we can implement in our lives if we truly want to become pious. For the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, not for the praises of the people. So people won't give us rewards. They'll just praise us. Wah, subhanallah. how humble you are, how pious you are, how knowledgeable you are, what a great reciter you are. It ends there. And if we're doing it for that, that's a sin itself. And there could be punishment for this as well. So try to remember the disadvantages, that those people who are arrogant, it is mentioned in a narration, a hadith apart, that on the day of judgment, those who are arrogant, they will be resurrected like ants with human faces. Allahu Akbar. I want to pause here for a moment. You know, sometimes we say that this person's head is inflated like a balloon. You blow a balloon, it inflates, it gets bigger. So this person's head is inflated, which means not physically and literally, but metaphorically. This person thinks he's better than others, so his head is like gone big. He thinks he's better. So imagine, on the day of judgment, and this is not a sharah of the hadith, this is to help us to understand. But on the day of judgment, these people, the arrogant ones, they will be resurrected like ants with human faces. And even the Hadith Park mentions that every small thing will dominate them. They will be driven to a prison in Jahannam, in Hellfire, called Bulas. And there they will be engulfed by a massive fire. And furthermore, they will be made and forced to drink Tinatul Khubal. That is the pus of those who stay in Jahannam. So think about the disadvantages in this world, in the hereafter especially, when you and I are going to be alone. Who's going to help us there? We have hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that through the shafa'ah and intercession of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will be assisted. Nevertheless, give as much sadaqah as you can according to your financial capacity. It is mentioned by our Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sadaqah, charity of a Muslim, increases his lifespan. It saves this person from a bad death. And due to this, Allah Azza wa Jal removes arrogance, poverty and pride. So give sadaqah, give charity for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Again, not for the praises of the people. Hide and do it. Allahu Akbar. Try to wear simple clothing. Try to live a simple life as much as you can. Amir Ahl Sunnah Dam Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, many a times you would see him sitting on a dried skin of a goat, as this also helps to develop humbleness and humility. If we can't do that, at least try to live a simple life. Try to live the sunnah. The sunnah is the perfect lifestyle. For any person who wants to attain happiness, the sunnah is for you. Join us next time on this beautiful episode, on this beautiful silsila. And until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But the day that it arrives will be too late. But the day that it arrives will be too late to do what we can do today.